Chris Marcus here with you for Arcadia Economics on, are we on the most exciting day in silver market history? I mean, we gotta at least be in that territory. And in case there's anyone sitting out there who does not know what's been happening today, well, let's get that right up here as we have a silver futures price of 6378. Oh, and look at that. I was wondering if we were going to get $64 silver when we started. The futures have already crossed 64. So everyone who's a longtime silver investor, I say congratulations to you and welcome on in, because we're going to talk about some of the truly historic, stunning things that are still ongoing now. Nothing has been resolved yet, and I am joined by two veterans of the silver industry who actually were involved in something interesting that happened this week as well. And of course, my dear friend Sean Kunkun of Dolly Varden Silver up in Vancouver, where size meets grade meets jurisdiction. And then who even knows what's going to happen next? But Sean, welcome on in. It's great to see you here as always, my friend.
Size meets grade in a safe jurisdiction meets production.
Well, I hear that, and someone who may have something to say about that before we wrap up today, Rick Van Nieuwenhuyse of Contango ORE. Rick, pleasure to have you on the show for the first time on a historic day here. And how are you today, my friend?
We're great. And Chris, it's good to be on your show, and looking forward to talking about the merger that we're proposing between Dolly Varden and Contango, which, as Sean mentioned, we're in production and we have a growth pipeline, and we think it's a perfect blend to join forces with Sean's Dolly Varden and create something pretty special here.
Yeah, and certainly quite well timed, if I may say so, because again, as I mentioned, Sean, what we're a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about, well, we might actually be breaking 50. And then, I mean, it's one of those things where, especially for many people who've been waiting 45 years since 1980 for the price to go over 50, sometimes something happens and you're like, oh, is that it? Well, not the case here. So, especially as we'll dig into, we have silver lease rates surging again. They had a shortage in London. Plug that up. They took silver out of China. Yeah, we're seeing a lot of silver come out of the COMEX. But to begin, I'd love to get your thoughts from both of you. Sean, perhaps we'll start with you. But this latest leg of the silver rally and any of the things that you're noticing going on right now that you could pass along for people.
Well, Chris, I'll start with just a personal story. I was actually at the gym last night, and there was a young man who works there who's from India, and he was sharing a story with me about how his mother, would take the money she would earn, and she would go and she would buy physical silver and gold. And this was just it was sort of a weekly, monthly, regular event. And how, there's certain cultures in the world, in China, in India, throughout the world, throughout Europe as well, where investors save in gold and silver. And I think it's, we're lining up to buy stuff we don't need here in the West. They're lining up to buy silver and gold. So I've seen a few things happen over the course of this summer. I think about the Russian Central Bank bringing silver into their precious metal strategy. I think of the Reserve Bank of India bringing silver into their banking system and talking about pegging it at a 10-to-1 ratio. So there's some big changes that are occurring. The U.S. and the Chinese governments simultaneously in the same week adding silver to the critical minerals list. So, Chris, you've been out there creating a lot of awareness. I've got your book in my office here, I remember when you went to Washington, listening, and it's something that you and I saw at least 5 or 6 years ago, and when we first met there in the spring of 2020, and the silver to gold ratio was 125-to-1. And so it's been a frustrating few years for those of us who have been watching these multi-hundred million ounce deficits not translate into a higher price? Thankfully for me, being around metals, I remember we were in a moment when in the zinc market where it took 2 years of deficit before the price moves. Often there's above surface stockpiles, or there is things that could happen in the paper market or the digital market that can suppress price. But I think what we're seeing, Chris, quite simply for your audience, is we're seeing the physical market now represented in these future prices. And it's interesting, we're here to talk about Contango. We've been in backwardation, we've been in the market, and so no, it's it and what's happened now in this world is it's all about momentum. It's all about, you've got the computers, you've got the algorithms, and you've got passive investing. And so now that you've got the price momentum, and we haven't had that in over a decade, I think you're now going to see the breakout. The question I have for you, Chris, is this move going to continue, or are we going to take a break somewhere in this $65 to $75 range?
I would guess over the next month, we'll see volatility that might outdo what we've seen over the past month, and which gives a very wide range. I don't know that I have something more specific. When you see it go up as quickly as it has in the last, it was less than 3 weeks to go from 48 to over 63 now and almost 64. So just like we saw silver hit 54, then come back to 48 twice. You saw similar activity went across through the $30 level. I'm expecting something like that, although what I find most intriguing, and Sean, you talked about it, where it's one thing to say, one day the physical market's going to take over. Those spreads you evidence show that when London needed metal, their price went up. I'll have a note about something out of China now. So we are definitely seeing that now. And I think the way the spread has moved between London and New York, going positive, negative, and big swings, I would suggest is reflective of what I asked Philip Newman of Metals Focus during the Silver Institute dinner. We're saying, now that this metal's come over, is this a temporary band-aid or a long-term resolution? I don't think there was anyone in that room who was willing to say that this was a guaranteed long-term resolution yet. So you could have more fireworks. And Rick, I know you're seeing this from the front lines in terms of how hard it is to get silver out of the ground and reading all these things. And then we see, Fed rate cuts and now started into what you've thought over these past couple of weeks.
Yeah, I mean, Sean, I think hit the nail on the head. It's about physical silver finally. And we've played paper games for a long time now, but now it's people need metal, and it's not just poor man's gold. There's an aspect of that when the story that Sean talked about, that's real. But the reason that silver is on the critical metals list is because it is critical to things like the military. And obviously the world situation is, continues to sort of broil, and it's not in a good place. We don't expect peace to break out here anytime soon, I don't think. And when the military needs silver, it gets silver. It's not going to happen. So they need the metal. They don't need a piece of paper that says somebody is going to give them some silver. So I think that's, a lot of what you're seeing now is that the world situation is in terms of from a military standpoint, people are building up. Hopefully it doesn't erupt, but everybody wants to be prepared, and that is what's going on with the military right now. They are I think they're in the midst of passing a $900 billion next year budget for the military. So that's all where the rubber meets the road, so to speak.
Yeah, and in terms of how we're seeing this reflected in the markets, like you mentioned there, Rick, here is the latest from David Jensen. And we see London silver lease rate is increasing again, now at 7.5 to 8%. And I would suggest that's one of the better indicators when someone's saying, all right, have we seen the end? Is this over? I mean, we can sit here and share our opinions, but there's the market pricing telling you that something is off. And Sean, perhaps you could help me with this math here, because here is the free float, the part in green. Now we got that metal that went back to London, but this still gives us, I think that came out to 214 million ounces, daily turnover about 250 million ounces. So we're even, and Robert Gottlieb, former JP Morgan Precious Metals Managing Director, he was on Kitco and elsewhere 2 months ago saying we needed about 100 to 150 million ounces to normalize the situation. We got 50 before China started running into issues. So is my math off here somewhere? Or, I mean, between that and you're seeing it reflected in the lease rates, that's the scoreboard right now.
Chris, is on a daily basis, we're trading annual mine supply. And so, if a certain percentage of that trading, if people stand for physical delivery, we as miners, we don't have the metal to bring into that. And again, we're running these big deficits. We're producing maybe in a good year 830 million ounces. We're recycling another 150. Let's round up and say that's 1 billion ounces that we can give market that's asking for 1.2, 1.3. So we've got these 200, 300 million ounce deficits. How are we going to satisfy those? And Rick can tell you better than I can. We can't just turn up silver production, on the spot. It's something where, there's a lot of capital and there's a lot of time that goes into bringing a new line or expanding an existing one. And so what we're seeing in the market today is not going to get satisfied anytime soon. And that's where we are very, very bullish on the price of the metals longer term. And that's just from a supply and demand standpoint with industry asking for so much more metal, let alone the fact that you've got the investment demand really picking up because, as Rick pointed out, just with one line item, military, these deficits are not going away.
I'll just add to that, silver by and large is a byproduct metal. We mine copper and we produce silver, we mine lead and zinc and we produce silver. And those mines are set in. Those mines have been producing at that level for, and they're producing because they want copper and zinc, and the silver's coming along for the ride. So by and large, that's what's so unique about the asset that Dolly Varden had. They're silver dominant assets, their primary silver deposits. And so that's where that new supply is going to come from. It's not going to come from the run-of-the-mill zinc mine that's been producing for 20 or 30 years.
And I just
So that's unique.
and Chris, when you and I first met, silver was valued in the teens, $15, $16. And so I started a business, and the whole idea behind that business was to try to, create a silver bank, to get as much silver as I could in the ground. And I had a lot of pressure from a lot of shareholders and a lot of investors saying, you got enough of it, start pulling it out. And my thinking was, I did not want to sell into a market at $20, $25, or even $30 an ounce. I just wanted to keep building that mineral inventory. And I mentioned the challenges that we have in the mining industry. Traditionally, historically, we got to build processing facilities. We got to permit tailings. These things take time. We're doing a merger. We're proposing a merger between my large silver inventory and Rick's company, Katango. And the reason we're doing that is because Katango has a business model, which is the direct shipping ore model, where they're able to, for less capital and for shorter timelines, they're able to basically put rocks in a box and send them to an existing processing facility. So, we envision a way to get that silver and gold to market sooner.
Okay. And Sean, I mean, in some ways, not surprising that we're finally seeing some M&A activity in silver, and especially because we have a lot of mining stock investors out there. Anything you could share there about the things that you get to see and hear that, of course, you can share publicly.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Look, in the silver market, you know, if you're an investor and you're looking to get exposure to silver, you know, the silver stocks have been on an absolute tear this year. If you go back to January of 2024, the SILJ, the SIL, these indexes, so these are indexes that hold a basket of silver miners, they're up 300% in 18 months. So silver stocks have been flying higher. They've actually, for the first time in about a decade, been outperforming physical silver and returning better returns than the physical. So we have a silver equity market that is leading, and silver's been the best performing asset under the sun this year. And so what we've seen because of that is in the industry, those producers are merging. And they're creating even larger and larger silver entities. But what that's done is it's limited the number of choices investors have to get exposure to silver mining. And so there's really only 10 pure silver plays today. And one of the reasons that Dolly Varden and Contango are merging is to create the 11th entry. And you know what we're creating here, there's a really good business that trades on the New York Stock Exchange. It's called Hecla Mining. You know, they've been in business. Chris, how many businesses have been around for more than 100 years? You know, we're in an economy where very few, if any, right? So it's really interesting that Hecla has been running their business for 135 years. It's a good business, okay? It's a $10 billion business. It's a silver business and it's a gold business, and it's focused in safe jurisdictions like the US and like Canada. What Rick and I are creating through the merger of Dolly Varden and Contango, we're creating the next Hecla. You know, if you're a silver enthusiast, a gold enthusiast, and you're looking to get exposure to a silver and gold mining stock, what we're offering investors is the junior baby version of Hecla at you know, 1/10 the valuation. We're sub $1 billion valuation, yet we have production. We've got you know, $100 million of cash flow. We've got $100 million in the bank. We've got over 250 million silver equivalent ounces, and we're growing. So it's a new entry into the mid-tier North America silver and gold producer developer exploration space.
Sean, perhaps you could dig into this a little bit. One of the things I took away from your press release the other day, and fortunately it looks like we have Rick joining us back on here, in terms of the synergy and the reason to do the deal, is that especially with the mine that's in production now, anything that comes up in terms of developing the other projects that are under the portfolio, you don't need to dilute and you have cash flow. And if you could talk about how that all operates so people could understand that component better.
Yeah, you know, the challenge that we were facing at Dolly Varden was we were going to have to move our project now that we've uncovered a significant resource, you know, and we're about to be releasing a new resource estimate where we think we're going to show 100 million ounces of silver, you know, over 1 million ounces of gold. We're going to put some economics around that. We're going to develop. We've got this thing in the mining business where we call it's the Lassonde curve. Pierre Lassonde, who's a very famous mining entrepreneur, you know, talks about how you're valued when you make a discovery. You know, you get your exploration high. Unfortunately, you go into the valley of death as you go to permit, construct, you know, as you're developing. It's a very boring and unrewarding time for shareholders. So how do you manage, how does a company like Dolly Varden manage to go from your exploration high to get into production, to get onto higher and higher and higher highs? And so what we've come up with was by doing this merger and getting exposure to cash flow, you know, we've got the earnings and we've got production-oriented shareholders, but we've also got a development pipeline, and we're not going to have to do big dilutive financings to develop our project and to ultimately get this silver out of the ground. So it was a great win-win. And for Contango, the reason it makes sense is Contango is a wonderful business with a very, very solid 5-year plan. But what this merger does is it takes their solid 5-year plan and it turns it into a 20-year plan.
Yes, and there is the Katango resource. Sean, following on to what you just said there, obviously, I think maybe even more so than 2011 at this point. I don't remember as much attention now coming around this. Like even a month ago when silver crossed $50, but I mean, we're starting to see a lot of mainstream and generalist money come in. So for people who are newer to mining stocks, is just any of the things that I see that you're preparing for and mitigating that things that they should be looking out for or watching as they get into the sector.
Well, look, follow serially successful people. You know, one of the reasons that we wanted to do this deal with Katango is Rick has got a track record for building companies that are quite successful, companies like NovaGold, companies like Trilogy. And so I think the one thing that new participants in the space have to watch for is there's going to be a lot of new entries. A lot of new entries that are going for projects that are marginally economic that only work in this new price environment. And so my only advice would be to stick to teams. Pareto's law is real in the mining sector, the 20-80 rule or the 80-20 rule where, and in the mining sector, you probably have 2% of the individuals responsible for 98% of the success. And Rick is part of that 2%. And so for Dolly Varden, in addition to the cash flow, it's the expertise to permit, develop, and move a project ahead that we get by this merger. Rick, were you off buying silver? Is that why you left us?
I had to go fill my pockets with silver. Sorry about that. The internet just went down here, so I'm on my phone now. So apologies for the interruption there, but happy to rejoin the conversation.
Rick, it's okay. If you need a silver feed, I'll just leave that up in the background. You don't have to log off or anything. To have you back here, and I might remind people if you're just tuning in late, Rick is part of Contango ORE, which has just announced a merger with Dolly Varden Silver that Sean has been running. And Rick, one thing be curious to get your opinion on the amount of money that we're now seeing come into the gold and silver markets that now has filtered down even to the stocks. Are we seeing even a greater degree than what you remember at any point in 2011? And along those lines, just things that people could expect based on your experience in both the metals and the miners of how do you think the environment might change given this is where we are now?
Yeah, I think we're definitely seeing a rotation of capital into the precious metal space specifically, but it is broader than that because there's such a recent focus on mining, finally, in recognition of critical metals as the importance to society. It's not a day goes by that there's not a whole discussion on AI and how much energy that's going to require. And it not if it requires energy, it requires copper, and if it requires AI connections that have to happen if you're building robots, you want the robot to follow directions, and that mean that connection is a gold or a silver connection. It's not a copper, it's not an aluminum connection. Things that have to happen, things in aerospace, things in the military, those connections are gold and silver because they're the best connections. They're whatever that 99.9999% of the time you want that to happen, that happens because of gold and silver, not copper, not aluminum. So it's I think there's definitely finally being recognition, and of course we all know that gold and silver are also money, and that's the other. Both of these things are coming together. The fact that we need precious metals to do all the things that we want to do, from AI to building robots to supporting the military. But at the same time, it's not a very it's an unstable world, and that results in rich and poor people wanting precious metals because they fundamentally don't trust their governments with their paper. So
That's the world we live in right now. And I think the last time we were in this spot, I think you either go back to 1999, 2000, that dot-com bubble, or you go back to the Great Depression, which isn't a pleasant thought. But I think those are the two, if you want analogs, those are the two analogs.
Chris, we're having trouble hearing you.
Oops,
Okay.
I was just saying, as the old saying goes, at least if you find yourself in such a predicament, you may as well have $60 plus silver while you're going through the experience. Rick, perhaps you could talk a bit more about, we had Sean give his side when you were off for a moment, but how the deal came together, what it was that you saw in Dolly Varden. Obviously, our audience has seen Sean many times and gets their updates regularly. But it'd be great to hear from your perspective, the synergies and what led you to this point.
Yeah, so I mean, I've known Sean for, I think we've known each other probably 10 years. Followed, I mean, it's interesting. He joined Dolly Varden about the same time that I joined Contango, and so we've respectively built our companies here in in what was a tough market for a lot of years. And so from my side, I've been impressed with what he's been able to accomplish in a fairly short period of time, and focused on. From my perspective, focused on the high quality nature of the deposits, both Homestake and the Dolly Varden and Torbrit. So those are and being able to move them along, attract the capital, and again in a tough market to accomplish what they've accomplished. From our side, we just when we have the 1 million ounce deposit at Manh Choh, we face a decision. Do we go raise the money to put this into production for ourselves? This money, first year of COVID, things were quite dysfunctional, and it was obvious to me that yes, we could probably do that, but it was not be rewarding for shareholders. Yeah, we could raise the money, we could raise the $400 or $500 million to build our own mill, slog through the permitting process to permit a tailings facility and all that, and but we said. There's excess capacity at the Fort Knox mill. Let's go talk to those guys. Let's work out a deal. And yes, we gave up 70% of the project, but we got it into production in 3 years. And that's cash flow. And to me, cash flow is the primary thing you need in any business, but certainly in the mining business, because it takes a fair bit of cash to do what we do. So we got into production, and we saw that we referred to it as a direct shipping ore model because we didn't build a mill, we didn't build a tailings facility, we didn't permit all that stuff. We just took advantage of existing capacity at Fort Knox and got that done quickly. We said, okay, let's go look for more opportunities like this. We did a deal on our Lucky Shot project. We're now underground drilling there to define a 500,000 ounce resource and put that into production. It's a historic mine. It produced 250,000 ounces at 40 grams per ton. We're not going to mine like they did 100 years ago. We're using modern mining, safe modern mining methods. So we'll have a grade probably closer to 10. But that's still plenty of grade to send up to the Fort Knox mill, put it in a truck, haul it down to the railroad, and take it up to Fort Knox. And then we have our Johnson Tract project. Again, it was very much like the Manh Choh project, 1 million ounces. And we see the ability to execute this direct shipping ore model for Johnson Tract. And that's where the real synergies with Dolly Varden come in, because Johnson Tract, it's a high-grade deposit. It's over 9 grams per ton gold equivalent. It is gold, silver, copper, lead, and zinc. Those are the same metal mix that Dolly Varden is. And so we can put those two projects together, and as Sean referred to, I heard him say earlier, we've gone from a 5-year plan to a 20-year plan, and that's fundamentally what the merger does, and it does it with $100 million. When the merger happens, we'll have about $100 million in the bank. We'll be generating $100 million of free cash flow on average from Manh Choh. And then that's plenty of money to continue to advance all three of our other projects. And as, I think you heard Sean refer to them as districts, and that's what they are. They're large land positions. Collectively, the four districts that we're operating in have 500,000 hectares of land to explore that we control in the company, that we will control when the companies combine. That's a phenomenal amount of prospective ground to explore. So, yeah, I'm really excited about this merger. It just makes sense. A lot of mergers don't make sense. You know, a company with a producing mine in Nevada, you know, coming together with a company producing mine in Nunavut. There's no synergies there. This merger is just loaded with synergies.
Well, that makes a lot of sense, and appreciate you sharing that. Sean, did you have any comment on what he said? We do have a couple questions coming in, but I wanted to give you a chance if there's anything you wanted to add on to that.
No, I think Rick said it very well and said it best, and let's get on to those questions.
All right. Well, Sean, I think this first one, you guys can decide who wants to field this. But Dirtis Danger says, will they be using any of the $100 million in cash to acquire more of the surrounding Golden Triangle properties?
I think I'll jump in here just initially. I think, you know, we've got a lot on our plate right now. We got to get, you know, we want to get, the next step is get the shareholders meetings for both companies done. That'll be, you know, let's say that's March. Sean's working on a resource update for the roughly 200,000 meters of drilling that's outstanding needs to get up included in the current resource estimate. So that's the first half. So that'd be probably one of the next big things. We're drilling underground at Lucky Shot. We've got 18,000 meters of drilling to do this year. We just started that about 2 weeks ago, and so that'll be all throughout the year. Lots of catalysts there. As we, you know, release drill results, and this is the Lucky Shot vein. It's high grade. Our resource ounces there currently are between 14 and 15 grams. So, you know, there'll be a lot of results, and as we said, we'll be advancing the Johnson Tract project, and then next year we're drilling 50,000 meters at Dolly Varden again. So there's plenty to do. Lots of catalysts. But, you know, Sean and I, we know what we're building here, and we know that we are building a company that will be a consolidator, and we do see opportunities there. But we want to, one step at a time.
Okay. And the next question, how much ore do you guys currently have to process?
I guess I'll take that as well. So that deals with Manh Choh. The Manh Choh mine produces about 200,000 ounces of gold a year. I think we'll probably end up being slightly shy of that this year, but that's the plan in rough numbers for the next 4 years is to produce at that level. So we're still exploring $5 million a year exploring, and most of that exploration focus right now is sort of in and around the pit. I refer to that as Minex, but that's currently the plan. Life of mine plan for the Manh Choh project.
Okay, and I'll say if anybody else has any questions that maybe I missed, send them in now. Although aside from that, any other parts of the deal or notes that either of you would like to pass along that we did not cover already?
I'll just highlight here, Chris. I think there's a huge opportunity for a re-rating, and I think before, you know, we look beyond our existing portfolio, which is already four big mining districts. And, you know, we've got a very, very robust 2026 planned, where we've got 70,000 meters of drilling, which will generate a lot of catalysts, a lot of growth. You know, we've got the earnings coming from the joint venture with Kinross. And so we've got we've got an opportunity here to get out, and we're already seeing it. The market is celebrating the transaction. We're seeing price appreciation, we're seeing big volume come into the stock. And what'll happen is when these two companies come together, it'll be even a larger platform. So we think there's a big opportunity in the spring for a big revaluation that's coming. And look, if we find ourselves in a place where the market values the combined co in line with its peers, maybe we'll continue to look for more opportunities. But I think for the next 6 months, we're really excited about the drill programs, the Lucky Shot, the new MRE, and just getting out and sharing the value proposition with our existing investors. But for many of the investors who need things like $10 million a day of liquidity, $1 billion market cap, there is a huge world, a huge community in the investment community that we did not qualify for prior to this merger that we now do.
Well, it's certainly an exciting, very exciting time. And Sean, I might add, every time I ask you a question, it looks like the silver futures jump up a dime or so. But I guess, Sean, you chose to become the modern day Hunt brother over there in Vancouver. I mean, so it comes with the territory. You're just gonna have to live with it. But anyway, once again, Dolly Varden Silver at dollyvardensilver.com. And then Rick, perhaps we'll turn it over to you. Any final thoughts before we wrap up here?
Yeah, just for investors that want to know more about Contango, go to our website. It's contangoore.com. There are two O's next to each other, so it looks a little odd when you write it out, but that's the correct spelling. And if you have questions, there's an info at button in there, and if you ask a question, we will definitely get back to you. So yeah, we're looking forward to this merger, and we've got a lot of work to do.
Exciting news at an exciting time. And actually, I guess before we let you guys run, obviously everyone is still recovering from their Federal Reserve hangover yesterday. I'd like to personally thank Substack for allowing not just a photo image, but I was so giddy when they had my Jerome Powell money printer GIF post up there. But here's a question I'll leave you and the audience with. If silver went to 62, above $60 on an interest rate cut that I might add, the Fed even told you they were doing back in September when they put out their dot plot. And it's amazing to me how this is all going on. Everyone's like, ooh, they're gonna cut 25 or not. I don't know. I'm like, does anybody remember like the whole thing with Trump and the not liking Powell? And if anyone knows someone who thinks Trump's going to pick someone who's going to raise interest rates, please call me. But it's like we haven't even had the crisis yet. And we have Trump's guy on deck. And if this is the reaction, and I might add they started not QE, QE again as well. So any thoughts on where that leaves us over the next year?
Let the money printing begin again.
Again, well, I think that's well said, Sean. Any thoughts on that? Are
Well, I'll
you
just
worried about higher rates when Hassett comes in?
all I can say for me is, I love gold and silver because they work in both inflation and deflation, right? Whether we get into that, as Rick described, the 1929, 30s era depression, or if we're going into another QE boom like in the 2000s, gold and silver are going to get us through.
Well, I think it's just a great time where all the people who have seen this and been patient are being rewarded and not just feeling like, oh, well, I think I got some good thoughts here, but just nice to see the rewards of some of the rewards of all of your efforts. So, in either case, thank you guys both so much for being here on another historic day in the silver market. Thank you, everybody at home, for watching. And again, you can find out more about the deal with Dolly Varden and Contango. Link in the description field below. And all right, Sean, we'll take one more look at the price before we're at 63.90. Oh boy, hold on. Sean, just say something else. Give us another
Just
1.7 cents. Come on.
Well, thanks for having us on, Chris. Great to see you.
Yeah,
All
Chris,
right,
great to be on.
gentlemen.
Appreciate the time with you. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you guys so much. We'll talk to you again soon.